From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
I'd like to begin by thanking our producer, Brian Charlson, and our recorder editor extraordinaire, Mr. Bauer from the great state of Kansas, who turns our weekly chaos into a manageable, listenable program. And of course, we'd like to thank George Byes of Talking Communities for the software that we use to record Tuesday Topics every Tuesday. This evening we're going to talk about something that by the time you hear this program will already have happened. But the good news is that that won't mean that you won't be able to listen to it anymore, because it would be our hope that the various files for what we're going to talk about tonight will actually continue to be available on ACB Radio's webpage for a good while after the actual live streaming happens. But this weekend, in fact, starting on Friday, the American Council of the Blind's Florida affiliate will be holding its convention in the state's capital in Florida, which is Tallahassee. And to tell us something about the program that's planned, as well as something about the Florida Council of the Blind, it gives me great pleasure to welcome someone to Tuesday Topics who has been absent for a long time. She used to be kind of a regular when Tuesday Topics was growing up, and I would like to express my appreciation for her jumping in at the last minute and being a guest. Miss Debbie Grubb, the president of the Florida Council of the Blind. And maybe, Debbie, before we actually start talking about the convention itself, you could tell us a little bit about Debbie Grubb so that we have an idea with whom we are talking, to be grammatically correct. Miss Grubb, tell us who you are.
Now, don't turn the computers off. I promise this won't take long, and we'll get right into what's going on with FCB. As Paul said, my name is Debbie Grubb. I'm originally from the great state of Maryland and grew up doing my advocacy work and ACB work in Maryland. Joined the Central Maryland Council of the Blind, which is the Baltimore affiliate, began doing work on things such as Braille bills when those were happening, accessible voting, all kinds of issues of that ilk, and became the president of the ACB of Maryland. Later on, in a couple years later, I got my first guide dog and became active in another of ACB affiliates, Guide Dog Users Incorporated, and now serve as its immediate past president. So this is the third great ACB affiliate that I have had the real honor of presiding over, and it is a challenge, it is a privilege, and I learn as I go. And what I would tell you, and I hope it doesn't embarrass him, when I am immediate past president of the Florida Council of the Blind, I hope that the person who comes after me feels that I'm as great an immediate past president as Paul Edwards is. Whenever an issue is difficult or needs a polished write-up or something, I call Paul and ask him for help. But we are very lucky in FCB to have Paul and many wonderful people that you will hear about tonight. It is truly a collaborative organization. Like most volunteer organizations, we don't have enough worker bees, but we are working on that, and you'll hear about some of the worker bees that make our wonderful annual conventions. This, as I said, will be our 54th, what they are, and we are very proud of our conventions. I'm not here tonight because our convention planning has totally arrived, or that we feel we have totally mastered the art of planning conventions. What I will say is that our conventions grow and evolve and are becoming something very special. And it is my hope to share some of those things with you. What I would say is, when I had the honor of serving a term on the ACB Board of Directors, I was invited to come to several conventions to speak and learned so much about planning programs. I have been the program chair and the convention committee chair on FCB for a number of years. And when I became president, I appointed someone else to take over the job of chairing our convention committee, but I am still doing program. We're busy and active and looking forward to an exciting convention in Tallahassee this weekend.
Thank you. And you live in the southwest part of Florida, Debbie. Tell us a little bit about the part of Florida you live in. Are you fire-free?
We are not smoke-free, but we seem to be fire-free. I live in the Tampa Bay area of Florida, in a little town called Bradenton. We moved here because my husband was born here and loved it as a child, moved to Baltimore because he suffered from retinoblastoma, and his mother, upon the sudden death of his father, decided that it would be best to be near Johns Hopkins Hospital, where my husband was receiving some very on the cutting edge treatment at that time. So my husband lived in Baltimore and worked there for most of his life, and we met in school. And when my husband took early retirement, he decided that he'd very much like to return to Bradenton. I did not share that view at first and really didn't want to come to Florida. I loved my life in Maryland and all the things that I was involved in. The ACB chapter there was really involved in some wonderful coalition work that I was pleased to be a part of and didn't want to leave. But I would say, and this is really from the heart, that the Florida Council of the Blind, from the time I came to Florida and showed an interest in working and becoming a part of the organization, welcomed me. And it is so important that our affiliates be warm and welcoming to new members, because you never know when you're going to get a worker bee. And the Florida Council of the Blind welcomed me, and Gail Krause Edwards put me to work on the convention committee practically as soon as I moved here. And I got started doing that. And then her and Paul's house flooded, and she could not one year serve as convention committee chair, and I stepped in and took over in that role, and it has been a wonderful experience. It's enabled me to get to know a lot of people and to do a lot of good work for FCB, and it kind of led the way for my becoming president of the organization, which has been thus far, I'm ending my first year of a two-year term as FCB president, and it has just been a wonderful experience. FCB is a very issue-driven organization right now, because that's the kind of person I am, the advocacy, grassroots type person. And so that's where we are, and I'm sure as the conversation proceeds, we'll talk about some of the issues that we'll be raising at our convention, and we'll talk about some of the issues that we are working on right now. One of the things I would like to tell you is that it is so important to build a relationship with somebody in, or many somebodies if you can, in your local legislature. We have the good fortune to have built a wonderful relationship with a representative named Dennis Baxley, and he will soon be running for a Senate seat in the state of Florida, and we're so hoping that he wins that seat, because he has a real heart for blind people. He adopted a blind child, and he started in Florida something called the Legislative Vision Caucus. This past session, they brought forward a Braille bill. They brought forward pedestrian safety legislation. And I'm sad to report that the first time out, these initiatives didn't get the support that we would hope for. But we are going to continue to work for them. And we are so lucky to have somebody in the legislature to care about our issues. We were invited, FCB and other blindness organizations were invited to participate in the very first Vision Caucus, and we were able to bring forward many of the issues that were on our minds. We, our executive committee, and our first and second vice presidents and I have had several teleconferences with Representative Baxley, asking for his counsel and advice on many of the issues that we are working on in the Florida Council of the Blind. And Representative Baxley has been very open and very helpful and has used his contacts to help move our issues forward. What I'd like to say is that many of the issues that we're working on will probably take a couple of years or more to bring forward, but we are moving. And thanks to our work with Representative Baxley and other people in the Florida legislature, we have hope that we will find resolution to a lot of these issues that we'll discuss in a couple of minutes.
So ACB gets together once a year, and FCB gets together once a year. FCB this time is getting together in our state capital in Tallahassee. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what people can expect when the program gets started. And maybe we're not going to stream it or anything. Maybe you could actually tell folks some of what's going to happen on Thursday as well, because I think that's kind of exciting. And some of our listeners also might like to know something about Project Insight.
Our convention, as Paul said, formally begins on Friday afternoon with the opening of our exhibit area and some workshops, which I will talk to you about in just a second. But FCB, for the past several years, has always had a Thursday evening social event for those individuals coming into town, wherever our convention happens to be at the time. Coming into town early last year, we went to a dinner theater, and it was a whodunit mystery, and we could play parts in the mystery and decide who killed the person, and it was a lot of fun. And so this year, because our first vice president lives in Tallahassee and has a lovely home with a great big backyard, and he absolutely adores to cook, he is brave enough, Mr. Robert Miller is, to host a barbecue with a little band. And so our members who have paid and registered to go will be driven by bus out to Mr. Miller's house, and we will have a barbecue with ribs and chicken and all kinds of salads and homemade ice cream, and we'll have musicians, and it'll just be a wonderful social event. There are about 65, 66 people coming just to the barbecue, and it also serves as a little fundraiser for FCB to help defray some of our convention expenses. One thing that we've done for the first time that I will take the opportunity to mention here. We learned it from the Washington Council of the Blind. I steal from the very best. And for the first time this year, we have chartered a bus to stop in various areas of the state of Florida to bring our members to Tallahassee. We decided to do that this year because sometimes airfares into Tallahassee are prohibitively expensive and bus transportation isn't all that great on the Greyhound. And so we decided to try for the first time this year chartering a bus. And if it turns out to be as successful as we think it will, we're going to hopefully have two buses next year to crisscross the state and bring people to the convention location of our 08 convention. So we're really excited about this and hoping that our first foray into chartering a bus will work out well and everybody will be picked up where they're supposed to be picked up and everything will go well. So those of us taking the bus will come into convention on Thursday, and then we will take that same bus, all of us who are going to the cookout at Robert Miller and Sila Miller, his lovely wife, who is our convention committee chair and who our convention registrar will be driving out to his house. So that is pretty much what's going to happen on Thursday, except that for this year, we decided that it was time to have a Project Insight training session. And the Florida Council of the Blind is very proud of its Project Insight. It is an outreach, it's a statewide outreach. We have an 800 phone number. We have a staff member who staffs that phone. And people who call are given resources to help them. And if they live in an area where we have a Project Insight representative, they are put into contact with that Project Insight representative, and that person becomes a friend, a mentor, a counselor, and kind of helps that person get through, in many instances, the early stages of blindness. Many of the people that call our Project Insight number are elderly. They're terrified of being blind. They feel that their lives are over. And Project Insight offers hope and offers other opportunities for them to re-enter the world that they thought had left them behind. So we are very happy and proud of our Project Insight. And we felt that it was time for our Project Insight representatives, our counselors, to have a training. Mr. Paul Edwards co-chairs our Project Insight committee, along with a lovely young lady by the name of Debbie Dryley. They, along with our convention committee chair, our Project Insight coordinator, Sally Benjamin, and a wonderful volunteer out of Tallahassee, will be hosting a day-long volunteer workshop for many of our Project Insight volunteers. We are very excited about that. FCB is bringing these people to Tallahassee and paying for their hotel and their per diem while they participate in this day-long activity. There will be workshops and role plays and that kind of thing, materials, help given out so that these counselors, these representatives can help those who ring their line, coming to them, seeking guidance, seeking support. So what we have throughout the state of Florida via our Project Insight is a huge support system. Can it improve? Yes. That is why we're having training. Do we have a way to go to make it everything that we want it to be? Absolutely. But we are very proud of our Project Insight and very proud of the people that serve as its counselors, as its volunteers, to talk to the people who come in a state of vulnerability, not sure what life has in store for them, and we give them help. And our Project Insight coordinator is really one of the keys to the success of the program. She is totally dedicated to everybody who calls and will not rest until she gets them the resources that they need. So we're very excited about our day-long training for Project Insight, which will culminate in the informal opening of our convention at our barbecue at our Thursday evening event. As I said, our convention will formally open on Friday afternoon. We will have our exhibitors. Freedom Scientific will be there. Florida Reading and Vision will be there, which is a software and hardware partnership that sells all kinds of technology to people living in the state of Florida. We have lots of other small and large exhibitors coming. We would like to have more exhibitors, but every year it grows. We have a wonderful exhibits coordinator who serves on our convention committee by the name of Sharon Youngs, and she also serves as FCB secretary, has served in that position as secretary for many, many, many years now, and is totally dedicated to FCB, as is everyone who serves on our convention committee. When I was convention chair and had the honor of giving the convention committee to the convention each year, I would say that I thought our convention committee was the best committee in FCB, and I still think it is. It is staffed with men and women who work tirelessly for FCB. On Friday afternoon, we will have an annual hour-and-a-half legislative seminar. It is usually hosted by the chair of our legislative committee, who is a past president of FCB, but he must be away this year on family business, so we are having our first vice president host the legislative seminar. We will talk about many issues that are on the forefront in the state of Florida, and all of us on the executive committee and other committees, the access committee, other committees that are in our organization, will receive guidance from those participating in the legislative seminar. One of the most exciting things that we're doing at this year's legislative seminar is that we are presenting Representative Dennis Baxley, about whom I spoke earlier, with our very prestigious legislative award. And he is a very deserving person, and he will be there to present to us at our legislative seminar this year. He will receive that award. Going simultaneously with our legislative seminar and our exhibit hall, we have a wonderful employment committee chaired by Mary Ellen Ottman, who works for the Division Division of Blind Services out of Daytona. And she is working with Mitch Pomerantz, who is our national spokesperson at this year's convention. And they will be putting on an employment seminar that will answer all kinds of questions and help men and women who are either looking to re-enter the workforce or for those men and women who yet have not yet entered the workforce. So those will be going on. On Friday afternoon, we have a wonderful first-timers workshop for those who have never been to a convention before. And if your convention doesn't have one of those in as an integral part of its convention, I strongly urge that you do that. It's a wonderful way to bring people in who have never been to a convention before. Our organization gives them a stipend for coming to our first-timers workshop. Along with the chapter that brings them. They are accompanied by a representative of the chapter that they come from, and they come to our meeting and learn all about our wonderful organization. Mr. Edwards is co-hosting that along with our treasurer, Ms. Patty Land, and so that's a wonderful thing. Our board structure in FCB is probably a little bit different than many of your board structures. Our organization believed that every chapter should have a representative on the FCB board. And so as a result, our board members are appointed by their chapters. And for the most part, not in all instances, but for the most part, those board representatives staff our many committees that we have. For the most part, because our board is so large, governance of the Florida Council of the Blind is taken over by the executive committee between conventions. But we do get together once a year in our convention, and also at another time of the year, our board gets together and we have a major board meeting where all of our committees meet. And one of the things that we are trying to do and are working on, as I'm sure are many of you, we are working to see to it that more of our committees meet in our chat room. We are very lucky to have from as a gift from ACB and Mr. George Vise chat rooms similar to the ones here. We have a general chat room, and we have a board and committee chat room. So we are urging many of our committees to get out in those chat rooms and meet. And that is beginning to happen, and that is really making a difference in the way our committees work. Besides having a very brief board meeting on Friday night, we will have a meeting of all of our chapter presidents. And one wonderful thing that I also stole from the Washington Council of the Blind, Cindy Van Winkle talked about it at a president's meeting, and it sounded so good to me that I stole it for FCB and urge any of you who don't do it to steal it for your group as well. We now have a monthly meeting of our chapter presidents, and it has really brought our leadership closer together. I tell them what's happening, what's going on in FCB. We share what's going on in all the chapters. Our chapters learn from each other, take the best from each other, and implement it in their chapters, and it is a wonderful thing. So our chapter presidents will meet on Friday night as well. We always have a Friday evening event, and this year it is called our Welcome to Tallahassee Party, and there will be a cash bar and refreshments and all kinds of games and opportunities for people to socialize, and people that don't want to do that can come to the President's Suite and socialize. So there's all kinds of opportunities, and of course people will be going out to dinner. On Saturday morning, we will have a pre-convention meeting for about a half an hour, and then we will have our awards ceremony. And we present awards to people who have done wonderful things for FCB. One thing that you learn in every volunteer workshop that you go to is say thank you to reward your volunteers, and we do that every year. And our chapters give awards as well, so we'll be doing that. We then have several workshops that run concurrently. We have two for an hour and then two more for an hour, and then we have our technology committee puts on a two-hour workshop. So for 1 hour, we're having a workshop from our own library, Bureau of Talking Books, Library and Talking Book Services, to talk to us about the digital book world and all that's happening there. Mitch Pomeranz is doing a wonderful ADA seminar repeating something that Gail Krause Edwards did for us several years ago called the ADA, What It Is and What It Isn't. So those two will run concurrently. Then we have, I have just become a member of the board of Very Special Arts of Florida. That's its formal name. Now it just goes by its letters, VSA Arts of Florida. And we felt that our members should know what VSA Arts of Florida is and how it works to further the world of the arts for people with disabilities. So we will have a presenter from VSA Arts of Florida. And we will also have a wonderful workshop on caring for your pet or guide dog, triaging care until you can get to a vet with your guide dog or your pet. Our members will be getting goodie bags to take care of their guide dogs or pets. So that's pretty exciting. One of the things that we have done at our FCB convention for the last several years is host in the early afternoon something called a town meeting. And this year, there will be two aspects of our town meeting. Our director of the Division of Blind Services is retiring, and one of the issues that FCB is working on is to try to have a fair and equitable process in place to hire our director's replacement. And so we will be meeting with DBS to discuss that and other issues surrounding rehabilitation services in the state of Florida. And then we're going to talk about voting and HAVA and access to voting. And you all may say, why are we talking about that? That's all accomplished. Well, just recently in the state of Florida, we had legislation passed that takes us back to a paper ballot. Direct recording electronic or touchscreen voting systems will be outlawed. They will no longer be allowed to be used as of 2012. So now those of us with disabilities have to pretty much start all over again to figure out where we fit into this and how we can cast a secret, independent, and verifiable ballot, especially once touchscreen voting systems are no longer allowed in the state of Florida. And actually, even before that, because we believe that if Florida feels that touchscreen voting systems are not good enough for voters to use, that they should not be good enough for us to use, and that we should have access to the voting process that everyone else uses. And we have begun the process. We haven't done it yet, but we have begun the process of working on forming a coalition with a group called the Florida Voters Coalition. And a representative from that organization will be at our town meeting, and Mr. Edwards will moderate a discussion. And I'm sure, given the strong feelings about voting that we as people who are blind and visually impaired have, that will be a lively discussion. That will end our town meeting. Going along concurrently with our four workshops, our technology committee will hold a two-hour workshop, and people will learn all kinds of things. One of the most exciting things that they'll learn about is using speech with Vista. And for people who are thinking about changing over to that, we felt that this was the year to discuss that. So that's one of the things that our technology workshop will be discussing during its 2 hours. Later on in the afternoon, after our town meeting, our special interest affiliates will meet. We have several of those, and they have their own programs, and they meet for approximately 2 hours. And then we have a pre-banquet cocktail party, and then we have our banquet, which this year will be hosted by Mr. Edwards because he does such a wonderful job at that, and I'm kind of shy. I guess you wouldn't know that the way I'm talking now, but I really am. I don't like emceeing. It makes me feel kind of shy. So I always call on Mr. Edwards to do that, and he does it so well. Mitch Pomeranz will be our guest speaker, our banquet speaker. He will be talking about his experiences in FCB, past, present, and future, since his 23-year relationship with us. And one thing that we do every year in FCB, we've done it for the past three or four years now, we give to our members a post-banquet concert, and various folk musicians who come, their musical styles have thus far been very different in what they sing and what they say. And these concerts have been quite popular, and that ends our Saturday evening. And then, to cap the evening off, FCB has a raffle that we have every year, and most of the proceeds, it is our way of helping our chapters fundraise. And so most of the funding from that raffle goes back to the chapters who sell the raffle tickets. And so that is always something that people really look forward to, who's going to win the raffle. There's cash prizes and other prizes. And this year we'll also be giving out door prizes at various meetings that we'll be having. On Sunday morning, we will have our business meeting. There are no elections this year, but there are many things to discuss, committee reports and resolutions and that kind of thing. And at the close of our business meeting, our board will have a brief meeting, and then we will all sigh a sigh of relief, and the convention committee will say, we have a little vacation until August, until we start this thing all over again.
Wow. It's a pretty full convention. I'm going to take us back to Friday for a minute, because I'd like us to talk for a second about what I think is actually a pretty exciting event, not so much the legislative seminar itself, but perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the Florida Vision Caucus, what it is and what it does.
Representative Dennis Baxley several years ago got a group of men and women who serve in the Florida legislature in the House of Representatives there to bring to the legislature issues that directly impact the lives of people who are blind and visually impaired. This year, they tried with a Braille bill. They tried with pedestrian safety legislation. They have worked tirelessly to see to it that blind children who are taught in public schools receive the kind of education, receive the kind of support that they need. And this year, the very first Vision Caucus, it was televised on the station that televises the work of the Florida Legislature. And men and women of the Florida Legislature were invited to learn about the issues that face people who are blind and visually impaired. They heard from doctors. They heard from service providers. And I think the most important of all, they heard from consumers. And one of the points that I was especially proud to have the opportunity to make, because they heard from so many well-meaning doctors talking about eye diseases and the impact of blindness on people as they reach certain ages in their lives and the impact of blindness on children. And one of the points that I was able to make is that disability is not a sickness. We're not sick. We're disabled, and we need that level playing field so that we can have our opportunity to have a chance at the American dream, our version of it, whatever that looks like to us. And it seems to me that that's what the Legislative Caucus does. It brings before the House and the Senate our issues and gives weight to them because there's several people who deeply care about those issues. One of the reasons that we are so excited that Representative Baxley is running for a Senate seat that will be vacant in his district is that he has already appointed a wonderful person, her name is Lorraine Osley, to take over the Vision Caucus in the House. We're hoping that Representative Baxley, should he become Senator Baxley, begin something similar in the Senate. And he promised us at our last meeting that we had with him over the phone that should he be elected to the Senate, he already had some senators in mind that he wanted to team with to bring forward some of our issues. Some of the issues that we have brought to Representative Baxley are a statewide seamless system of transportation. I don't know how it is in your state, but in the state of Florida, Amtrak and Greyhound have cut out a lot of stops in small towns. And so people that want to move from county to county city to city in the state of Florida, whether it be for recreation, whether it be for a doctor's appointment, for work, whatever their reason. The ADA doesn't care. We have the right to move. We're having difficulties doing that. And so Paul and I collaborated on correspondence to our governor, asking him to put forward a task force to study this issue. And in our letter, we made it clear that this issue is not just a blindness issue. It is an issue that impacts everybody who does not drive, either because of disability, age, poverty. And so we are working with Dennis Baxley, who wrote a letter to the governor in support of this issue. That's one issue we're working on with him. We're working on pedestrian safety. Right on red here in Florida, as I'm sure it is in your state, is so troublesome to people who are blind and visually impaired. Our immediate past president and his wife were both hit on separate occasions at the same intersection in the city of Tallahassee, where there happens to be an accessible pedestrian signal. So we're working on safety for the streets and highways in our city. As I said, we're also working with him on coming up with a process before our last director of the Division of Blind Services was appointed. In the state of Florida, the Commissioner of Education appoints the director of the Division of Blind Services. And in the past, there was a committee of stakeholders, people working in agencies serving the blind, the various consumer groups, formed a committee, looked at the resumes submitted, interviewed the candidates, and made recommendations to the Commissioner of Education. Right now, we're in kind of a strange situation in that not only is our director taking early retirement, but we have a temporary or an acting Commissioner of Education, so we're not sure how that's going to affect things. So we have asked Representative Baxley to help us with this, and we have asked him if this committee is formed, would he serve on it, and if the Commissioner of Education is okay with it, would he chair it? And he said that he was extremely anxious to do that. So those are just some of the major issues. Of course, I've already mentioned voting, which is extremely important. We're also continuing, we have a partial victory here in the state of Florida, on making sure that our state agencies and organizations have accessible hardware and software for people with disabilities, for those of us who are blind and visually impaired who work for state entities. But where we're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit on that is that right now new purchases have to be accessible. We're working on getting retrofit for software and hardware that is currently in use. So those are some of the issues that we are working with Representative Baxley on, and that the Florida Council of the Blind is seriously working on. We have a wonderful newsletter called the White Cane Bulletin that comes out every other month, and the president has the privilege of putting forward a president's message. When Paul was president, his messages were wonderful. They were so erudite and scholarly and taught us about so many things. My president's messages, because of who I am and my personality, are more advocacy oriented and talk about what we're involved in, what the executive committee is doing, so that our members know precisely what's going on in FCB. So our White Cane Bulletin, we share everything from recipes to technology tips to articles that appear in the newspaper or magazines that would be applicable to people with disabilities, true life experiences. We're always looking for news from our chapters, and we enjoy having our White Cane Bulletin. We have two wonderful people who work on putting it together. Sharon Youngs, our secretary, is our White Cane Bulletin editor, and the person who lays it out and collects the articles is our Project Insight Coordinator. She works part-time for us as Project Insight Coordinator and part-time for us doing general FCB work. And she lays out our White Cane Bulletin, and that, as I said, comes out every other month. So we can publicize what we're doing and encourage our members to act on some of the issues on which we're involved. And I would urge any of you who have a relationship with somebody in your legislature, Florida doesn't need to be the only state, in fact, we may not be, that has something like a vision caucus. It's very important. As you know, sensory impairments are so little understood by people who do not experience them or who do not know people who have them. And so this really gives us a leg up. And I made a promise when I became president that we were really going to work with this Vision Caucus and make them earn their name by really working on issues that impact the lives of people who are blind and visually impaired.
One of the things that I think actually Florida can be pretty proud of is how well all of the components of the blindness system in Florida are actually working together. We are, with the Vision Caucus, we have the National Federation of the Blind, the Florida Council of the Blind, a bunch of private agencies and their organization, and all of us are working with very little disharmony and very little issue, and are able to go before the legislature with a pretty clear and unified voice. And I think that's made a huge difference in terms of what we've been able to get out of the system. The White Cane Bulletin and other Florida Council of the Blind stuff can be found on our website, which is www.fcb.org. And we would encourage everyone to go take a look at what we've got up there. We think there's some interesting stuff. One of the things that I said at the very beginning of the program was that our convention will be streamed. And those of you who are here this evening and who might like to actually participate in listening to the streaming, we are going to be streaming starting on Friday afternoon. We will be streaming Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, and we'll be streaming our banquet. Debbie, are we going to stream our concert this year?
Our plan is to stream it. We have to ask Mr. Briarty if he minds, and so our streamers are ready to do that. I'm sure that's not a computer word. Sorry, geeks. The lovely people that will be streaming our convention for us are prepared to do that. So it is my belief that it will be streamed. It may not be in the archives. Last year, our performer, who was a wonderful, my favorite, of all of the performers that we've had thus far, said that we could stream our concert, but she didn't want it in the archives. So if you've got friends that, you know, spread the word about our streaming of our convention, and to your musical friends that like folk music, that we'll be streaming on Saturday night our banquet and our concert, and we'd love to have you all be with us virtually, so to speak.
The performer is from Connecticut. His name is Kevin Briarty. Writes a lot of his own music, has a kind of a slightly country-ish style, but is still very accessible even to people who aren't sort of down home in Deep South. So I think any of you who are minded to tune in on Saturday evening will really enjoy Kevin. He has some very intriguing lyrics that he's written. He wrote a very cool Christmas song about a kid who didn't get a bicycle and some of the lessons that his father provided with regard to that. Without giving the whole song away, it has to do with walnuts. And you'll have to tune in on Saturday night to find out what walnuts have to do with bicycles.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you're listening to Tuesday Topics. Once again, your host, Paul Edwards.
I think I'm going to open it now and see if folks have some questions or issues that they'd like to have Debbie talk about a little bit more. So let's open it up for questions or concerns that folks might like to raise with our guest tonight, Ms. Debbie Grubb, President of the Florida Council of the Blind.
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I think that the Florida Council for the Blind is doing some aggressive things. That sounds great. And I also think that overall, ACB Radio is doing a great job in streaming certain affiliate conventions.
Thank you, Gary. I remember you from my early days coming to Tuesday Topics, and it's great to see you out here again. And thank you for the kind words. ACB is so generous with ACB Radio in its desire to have you all be able to hear conventions. And it brings us all closer together. It helps us plan better conventions. And speaking as president of the Florida Council of the Blind, I feel a deep sense of gratitude to ACB Radio to allow us to bring our convention to you and to people everywhere. It is a great honor, and we just hope that our convention lives up to the hype and that you all learn something and enjoy it and come away ready to go to work where you live and work and do some great things.
Debbie, this is Brian Charlson from Massachusetts, and Many of your programs sound like they come with a fairly steep price tag, not for your members, but for your organization. How does Florida Council of the Blind fund things like the bus, your support network, and those kinds of things? Where do you get your funds from?
Like every other organization, we are constantly looking for funds. We have a vehicle donation program. We also see funds from a licensing program for people receiving their driver's license. So we have some funds coming from those streams. Of course, we are always looking to our chapters to help in any way that they can, those that have enough money. But our bus actually is being paid for by our members. It is cheaper than taking the Greyhound. It is cheaper than flying. And so they pay $35 each way, or $70, and they are picked up at an agreed-upon location and taken right to the hotel. We're hoping to get more people involved in our bus program next year so that we can get even more people to our convention. But FCB doesn't have, going back to fundraising, we don't have all the answers to that any more than ACB does, but we do use our vehicle donation program, and we do use the funds that come in from the licensing program to fund many of our issues. That is where our vehicle donation program, one of the things that we can do is fund our Project Insight through various funds that come in from that program. So we are very lucky to have those programs. We are certainly not as wealthy as some of the larger ACB affiliates, but we do all right, and we're always looking for other opportunities to raise funds.
We actually have been pretty fortunate, I think, in Florida to persuade FCB to be one of the organizations that people can donate to when they renew their driver's license, which is how that actually works. And it is typically, oh gosh, raising maybe $40,000 a year, Debbie?
That sounds right to me. And you've got to realize some of these funds, especially from the vehicle donation program, they have strings tied to them in that they can only be used for certain things. But we have a wonderful accountant who keeps us straight and helps us use the funds for what they are meant to be used for, and we do pretty well. It is our joy to be able to fund Project Insight. And one of the other things that we do for our members is that when we have our board meeting, we pay our board members' transportation to the board meeting location. We give them a per diem for food, and then their chapters pay for their lodging. And so that it's a working together to make the board meeting something that people can attend. We try to help and encourage our board reps to come by providing those funds. And we do the same thing at our convention. Our board reps and our committee chairs do receive stipends for coming. We felt, of course, this occurred long before I became part of FCB, but we didn't want only people with lots of money to be able to participate in FCB. And so as long as we are able, this is a service that we do want to provide to our members, and we feel that it is good use of the funds that come to us. And through the generosity of people, whether it's the driver's license program that Paul and I were referring to or the vehicle donation program, people care about us and are generous enough to give us some money, and so we feel that we need to use it to further the work of our organization and to bring people on who are willing to work and who want to work. So those are the things that we do.
One of the people who just materialized in the room is the person who will actually be in charge of our streaming this weekend, Rachel Bader from Orlando. Rachel is an ECB radio hostess with the mostest already, and her husband is webmaster for the Florida Council of the Blind's webpage. But Rachel, is there anything you'd like to share with us about streaming this weekend?
Nothing like jumping in at the right time there. I would just like to say that also Larry Turnbull will be with me. We're streaming this for the third year in a row, and very proud to be able to bring that to other Floridians who aren't able to make the convention, as well as other people out there listening to ACB radio and of other affiliates of ACB. By the time this airs, the convention will have already happened, but we hope that if you've listened to it by now, that you've enjoyed the coverage, and if you haven't yet listened to it, I would say that the archives may, at the time this airs, be up there, but if not, they should hopefully be up and available soon, and we got a lot of exciting programming, and we want to hear back from you, too, as to what you thought about the coverage and what kind of things you would like to have streamed at future conventions.
One of the things that we are so blessed with in FCB is to have many talented people. As I said at the top of this program, like all volunteer organizations, we don't have enough workers, but we do have wonderful workers. And our convention committee is an example of that, and people like Rachel and Larry, who don't do the things that they necessarily would want to do at convention, but who sit there and stream for us, and it is really a wonderful thing. And I'm sure that all of you in your state organizations have people who work selflessly and tirelessly for your organization, and all of us in ACB are so blessed to have these people in our organizations.
One of the things that we're hoping to do, just to let folks know, is where we do have concurrent workshops, while we can't guarantee that we'll absolutely get everything, we are going to try to make an effort to spread ourselves around so that some of the things that we can't actually stream live, we can record and add to the archive later. It is our hope that we're going to be able to do that with some of the programs as they occur over the weekend, so that you'll actually have the opportunity, even if you're at the convention, to attend more than one workshop that's going on at the same time, as long as you're prepared to do your attendance later and virtually. So we're hoping that that will happen.
One of the things I would also say that was great for me in the streaming process is that before I went to a convention, this being on the national level, it was great for me to have heard the streamed coverage on ACB radio beforehand, and it really gave me a good feel for what the conventions are like. So if you're thinking about going to your state affiliate convention and want to kind of know what they might be like, take a listen to what we do streaming-wise. It gives you a good feel for how meetings work in the general sense, and maybe some ideas that might work for your state. Also, I would take this opportunity to invite any of you that might have some connections with your state affiliate. We at ACB Radio are always looking for more programming on ACB Radio regarding with the state affiliates. And ACB is made up of all the state affiliates, so it's not just the national thing. It's all the state affiliates. So we're looking for more programming that comes from all of your state affiliates. So if you think you would like to have your convention streamed, don't worry about not maybe having the know-how or the equipment to be able to do it. If it's something that you are interested in making happen, contact us at ACB Radio, and we can see about what we could do to direct you, put you in the right direction of how to stream it. The address you want to send email to is support@acbradio.org, which will go to our director, Christy Cochran, and she'll point you in the right direction. What we're really excited about with ACB Radio right now is ACB Radio World, which is bringing international programming as well to ACB Radio. And although all the details aren't quite ironed out at this moment on all of our streaming for this weekend, it's a possibility that our convention will be the first, some of the first programming to be streamed on ACB Radio World. So we're really excited about that too.
It's very cool. ACB Radio World, the nice thing is we're actually going to be broadcasting in a number of foreign languages, and something that I worked pretty hard to try to make happen actually inaugurated ACB Radio World, and that was a live and delayed streaming of a thing called the African Forum, which is an opportunity for people all over Africa who weren't able to attend to have the opportunity to hear discussions that were directly pertinent to what's going on in Africa. This program was initially put together by Hilton Perkins Foundation and a good friend of ACB's named Aubrey Webson. We're extremely pleased that Aubrey and the Africa Forum were our way of kicking off ACB Radio World, and Chrissy from England went out there to make it all happen, so that was cool. Not directly relevant to what we're doing, but I think really important in indicating just how broad the range of things that ACB Radio is getting involved in carrying these days actually is.
I'd be curious, I would really love to hear the breakout session that deals with using Vista. Have you any idea whether that might be one of the ones that is going to be streamed?
It is not one of the ones that's going to be streamed, but one of the things that they're going to talk about is using the Olympus Digital Recorder. And so I have a strong feeling that it will be recorded and will be on the archives, and we will see if we can't make that happen.
One of the other interesting things that our technology committee does, FCB has chat rooms, and one of the things that we use our large chat room for is a monthly sort of technology question get-together. If you're having issues around your access technology, our technology gurus do get together on a regular basis to try to answer your questions in an informal way in a chat room right up front. So feel free to join us. We'd love to have you. Deb, thanks very much for jumping in and being our guest this evening. I think Florida is very fortunate to have you as our president, and we're very fortunate on Tuesday Topics to have the opportunity to talk about an affiliate that is vibrant and that is moving ahead in some exciting ways. And one of the things that we hope that we've managed to do on this program tonight is to give some of you and other state affiliates ideas about some of the things that you might work on and some of the issues that perhaps can become issues that you put to the front of your organization's list of issues. Clearly, we've got lots of work to do in every state if we're to ensure that people who are blind have an opportunity to become all they can be in a society that sometimes isn't very open to those of us who are blind or visually impaired. On behalf of our guest, Debbie Grubb, our producer, Brian Charlson, our recorder and editor, Steve Bauer, this is Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida, saying good night. Thanks for listening on ACB Radio.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.